You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Streaming live, KSGF.com. Mark your calendars. This Friday, we do have that Heroes Breakfast. Free breakfast for veterans at Scramblers, Republic Road, and National with Air Services, Heating, Cooling, All Service, Plumbing, Delta Roofing. Do we have info on that up at the website? Do you know?
Yeah, we sure do. It's going to be the first tile that pops
there
up.
There you have it. And we also have sample ballots up also.
The second tile that'll pop up.
Second tile. And if you just can't wait that 5 seconds for it to rotate over, there's usually a little arrow on the right-hand side. You click it, and then you click on your county, and you will see a sample ballot that will have on it the different races that you will be voting on. Now, there may be some things in there that you aren't voting on because it's per county, and of course, that's not necessarily how you vote. Depending on which ballot you get coming up next week, you may draw a Republican, you may draw a Democrat, may draw a Libertarian ballot. They're going to ask which one that you want. And for those of you that are going to draw a Democrat ballot, one of the names you'll see on there is Lucas Kuntz. And I think it's fair to say that he is, relatively speaking, the most high-profile Democrat running, although one of his opponents just does happen to have some name recognition because of a legacy aspect to it. But given that we are not in the big city St. Louis area, the fact that I know the name Lucas Kuntz, it just suggests to me that clearly that means he's got the greatest name recognition on the Democrat side, and he joins us this morning as he is vying for Democrats to vote for him. I want to thank you for being with us this morning, and as you hit areas of the state and you're talking to Democrat voters, how do you feel about how things are going to turn out for your side of things? For the primary.
Nick, can you hear me?
Yes, there you go. Gotcha. Okay, thank you. I think that was my fault. I'm sorry. Here's the thing, Lucas. I have no idea what I'm doing.
You have me muted, huh?
I have no idea what I'm doing. No clue at all. the question there, you're going around, how do you feel about your odds, your chances? It seems like, I really do have, I would say, the average Missourian's perspective on this, because it's not a race that I have been following tremendously. So I think I get what the average person gets. And it seems as if your name is out there a bit more than others. Is that the case? Is that helping you? How do you feel about the upcoming race for you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, we're having rallies all around the state. We're getting everywhere, meeting everybody, and I'm pretty happy about that, I'd say. You know, we've had some rallies down in Springfield, Joplin, all across southern Missouri. Just had a big one in St. Joe the other day. Had more than 100 people come out. Everybody's like, wow, that's more people come out for a Democrat in St. Joe since Jerry Litton in 1970, whatever. So pretty proud about what we've been building up here.
What makes you a Democrat?
You know, for me, it's what I want to do is I want to fundamentally change who has power in this country. I want to be a warrior for working people. I grew up in Jeff City, you know, working class neighborhood. Parents got married in 19 and 22. We had no money, you know, always writing checks at the grocery store, asking the cashier not to cash it till the end of the month. And, you know, it was a local store, took care of us. Everybody in that neighborhood took care of us when we went bankrupt from my little sister having heart surgery. And I just feel like we got too many people stripping our communities for parts, and I feel like, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, for example, is at the top of that list, sending our industries overseas, selling our farmland to China, things like that, and I want to stand up to that.
So I'm going to delve a little further into this question then, because, you know, a lot of people, they hear what you say and you say, well, you want to change who controls this country. And so some people are going to say, well, neither party, then you're doing it wrong. Of course, we have what many people consider a two-party system, so you have to pick one. The description you give of paycheck to paycheck and at the grocery store and the cost of things versus paycheck, we hear a lot of that from people now. They're very concerned about those things. Of course, Democrats are in charge, and so whomever is in charge generally is expected to fix these things. And people perceive, and perhaps I'm a little biased here, I mean, you had Biden saying, oh, no, it's not going to be a recession. And people, on one hand, I think that they relate to what you talk about, the way you grow up, but they see it as something that the Democrats aren't fixing. And with inflation, it's even getting worse. How do you counter that? What do you say to those people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say that either party's in charge sometimes. You know, there are these people who buy off our politicians to strip our communities for parts. They don't care which party they're buying. When you talk about our state legislature selling our farmland to China, for example, you know, Smithfield, a company that destroyed most of Missouri hog farmers in just one generation, wanted to cash out on doing that by selling themselves to China. When they wanted to change Missouri law to make that legal, because Missouri had a law on the books that said foreign ownership of agricultural land is illegal, they gave $5,000 to everybody in the state legislature to do that. And it went before the state legislature for the first time. The Missouri State Senate voted nearly unanimously to make that sale happen. Only one person voted against it. And so, you know, for me, the way I'm running my race is I'm not taking money from federal PACs. I'm sorry, from federal lobbyists, no money from corporate PACs, no money from big farm executives, people who are driving our insulin through the roof because they have a cartel, and many others, because I think we got to run things differently. The reason we have inflation is because we don't make anything in America anymore. We have literally sold everything off, including our farmland. And, you know, I was a Marine for 13 years. I went to Iraq and Afghanistan. My last duty station, I was at the Pentagon. And at the Pentagon, we had a study done that found we can't make a single weapon system without inputs from China. Like, that's crazy, man. That is crazy. And so that's what we're up against. We're up against monopolists. We're up against the supply chain that we've completely offshored. And my big thing is not taking money from these people who are doing that so that I can stand for something different.
One of the things that we know just about human beings, and whether it's making decisions for their own household or for businesses, they tend to migrate towards places to live or to work in which they're going to have a greater financial advantage. And we see people move based on taxes so often. When it comes to corporations, it's been one of the big obstacles that a lot of corporations has had. It's the cost of doing business here in the United States. And we've seen this, you know, we've got one of the highest tax rates for corporations, which causes them oftentimes to seek out areas of the world in which that burden is much lower. Is that an area that you recognize as being one of the reasons that corporations do move outside of our country? And is that something that you would be willing to look at in terms of a possible remedy and making that financial burden less to work here or to have those jobs here in the United States?
Yeah, what we see is a race to the bottom in every way, right? They have put our you know, the massive corporations who write our trade laws have written them in a way that they want the American worker to compete with someone who will work for nickels an hour. It's messed up. We need to have trade laws that take the cost of labor into account so we don't have to deal with that and we keep jobs here. But the other thing is, like, these companies lie a lot of the time when they say that American workers are too expensive. Well, when I was at the Pentagon, we were looking at, and this is something I was doing on the side for a nonprofit I was working at. We were looking at General Electric, a company that's taken billions and billions of dollars from you and I and everyone who's listening to this, the American taxpayer, to keep jobs in America, to do things like build out a renewable energy headquarters, to make, you know, anything, turbines, all this other stuff. And we found that when they were shipping jobs overseas, which they did anyway, they were shipping those jobs to places like France, where the worker gets paid more, where the worker gets better benefits and more vacation. And so it's not always that. Oftentimes it's because they want access to markets. And even more often, it's because the other government actually protects its workers, protects its markets, and doesn't just let people buy off the politicians. And so they have to do they have to do things like actually do business there. We can do the same thing in America. When we give out subsidies, we can attach strings to that money so that they will actually keep the jobs here. And we just have no appetite for that from either party in Congress because of who's writing their campaign checks.
So you reference GM as an example of some of those.
Oh, sorry, General Electric.
You probably did say General Electric. I'm sorry. And you reference the fact that actually when it comes to employees, it costs them more to have jobs over there. I'll take your word for that. But then there, what about the corporate income tax component? Because in France, it is cheaper over there. It is more business friendly when it comes to those corporate tax rates. And while we have the highest essentially in the world, is that a cost that you are willing to look at if it means keeping some of those jobs here in the United States?
Yeah, that isn't really why they went there, though. They went there because they wanted to buy the French energy company Alstom, and France said, no, you can't buy that because we know exactly what you can do, General Electric. You're going to strip that business for parts. You're going to sell off its components, and you're going to damage our economy, which is what General Electric does, right? Like, I mean, they are outsourcers in chief. And so the French government said, we're not going to let you buy Alstom. General Electric said, well, what can we do to buy it? And they said, well, you can move all your jobs here. And GE said, fine. And so they moved them from America because, again, the French government actually protects its workers. Like, we have the biggest economy in the world. We have a market that everyone wants access to. We have real leverage. Businesses want access to our markets. We just need to make that actually happen. I mean, look what happens when you go to China, right? If you want to talk about a corporate tax, the tax for going to China is that you're going to have to do a joint venture with a Chinese company, give them all of your intellectual property. They are going to steal that. Eventually, they're going to clone your product and destroy you. That's why we don't make things in America anymore, right? That's a huge burden. But businesses will do it anyway because the CEOs are only incentivized by quarterly earnings reports, and they know that if it increases their short-term gains, they don't care about the long-term loss. We need to actually just step in and protect ourselves, or countries like China, they're going to buy off everything. Like, these guys are selling the keys to the castle here.
Aside from, and we were talking specifically GE, though, and I mean, I think it's obvious the point I'm getting at here is whether or not with some businesses or corporations, I mean, the recognition of the cost, if you would be willing, if it meant businesses bringing jobs back to America, would you be willing to cut or consider cutting the tax rate in order to make that happen?
Well, look, like, I will look at anything, but I'll tell you right now, when we're going to do the infrastructure bill, originally it was going to be paid for by an increase in the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. It used to be 35, right now it's down to 21. And there's a company called Raytheon UTC. You may have heard of it. It's one of America's biggest, actually the world's biggest defense contractors. Now, what Raytheon UTC did is they had an argument similar to yours. They went to Congress, except they had a little more teeth behind it, and they said, Congress, if you raise the corporate tax rate this 7%, that's going to cost us $1 billion a year. We have a $5 billion research and development budget. What we're going to do is we're going to tell every American that you made us less safe because we had to take that $1 billion in corporate tax rate increase out of research and development. That's research and development for the troops. That's research and development that keeps us all safe. It's the only place that that money can come from. That's what they said. They terrified them. They told them, we'll say that you killed sailors, you know, service members like me. I was a Marine, right? They said, we're going to say that you killed them. Congress didn't increase that tax rate. Raytheon UTC at the next shareholders meeting went to his shareholders and he said, guess what? Best news ever. Because that didn't happen, we now have $5 billion of excess money. $5 billion of cash. Shareholders, we are going to shower you with excess cash. We're going to do share buybacks and dividends of $5 billion. It's not that they didn't have the money. It's that they wanted to give it to their shareholders through share buybacks and dividends. Share buybacks used to be illegal. It's a way of increasing the price of a stock short term and gutting the company. That's what they wanted to do, right? Like, this isn't about them not having the money. It's about who they want to give it to. That was our infrastructure. That was our roads. That was our sewage systems. That was everything that everyday Americans need. It was a direct transfer of wealth from all of us, our taxes, our needs on infrastructure level to these corporations, to their shareholders. And I tell you what, now, the crazy thing is that 40% of shareholders in American companies aren't even Americans. The Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund is the biggest holder of those. The person who's gouging us the most on oil, on gas at the pump, the Saudis, they're the ones who got that money, a direct transfer of wealth from us to the Saudis. That's what we're up against, man.
Final question, Lucas Kuntz, who's asking for the Democrats to pick him to be the nominee for U.S. Senate. Biden, of course, president, is always gauged by people, particularly when it comes to the economy, to those dinner table issues. How, thus far, would you rate him? A, B, C, D, F, would you rank him or rate him, rather, grade him in terms of how he's done as president so far?
What he needs to do is he needs to make things in America again. I have seen some effort toward that. I've seen some anti-monopoly stuff, but I have not seen him really enforce bringing jobs back. I haven't seen any president actually do that since probably, good God, maybe Nixon. And so what they're all doing is they are all making decisions based on a Wall Street-centric, financier-centric economy. They always give money to Wall Street. I mean, look at during the recession, right? $120 billion a month to Wall Street. $120 billion a month we printed for Wall Street. Both parties were behind that. And so for me, you know, it's not a left-right campaign. What I want to do is I want to focus on that. I want to highlight that. I don't think he's doing the right thing in that area. I don't think any president has, again, since the 70s, when we actually had an economy that worked for everyone. And so that's my job, man. That's what I'm going out. That's what I'm talking about.
So
that's what I want to do.
So is that a C?
I can't really rate. I'm not a school teacher, that's man. Fair. I'm saying right. He's trying. It looks like he's not doing enough. It sounds pretty similar, right? It sounds like what we've had for a long time, and it's sad, and it's because the wrong people control the economy.
All right, Lucas Kuntz, appreciate you being with us. Your site for people that want to learn more information.
Yeah, please go to lucaskuntz.com. The last name's K-U-N-C-E, or if you're a military guy like me, Kilo Uniform November Charlie Echo, lucaskuntz.com.
All right, thank you much, and perhaps we'll talk to you again after next week.
Yeah, sounds good, man. Thanks
All right,
for having me.
You bet. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.